blessing to be with God's people and just be able to share a few minutes together around the Word of God and around our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to, for the sake of time, I'm going to drop down in verse number 8. We'll go back and read some verses. Actually, that's where the message is going to come from, but the title for the message is going to come from verse number 14. Let's begin reading in verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle. How many knows a little bit about Elijah? Boy, I like him, don't you? Amen. He's a character in the Bible. Brother John, I believe he's just an old country boy. It's got God all over him. And he left a mark. He stood up, Brother Brian, to that wickedness you were talking about in the world at that time, to Ahab and to Jezebel. Let me just say something. One of the greatest needs of our generation is that God's people would stand up. I believe, listen to me carefully, I'm not fussing, but one of the reasons we're facing what we're facing in America is God's people have rolled over and played dead. God's people have been silent when we ought to have been standing up for the truth, for the word of the living God. The Bible said Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together and he smote the waters and they divided hither and thither, and that they too went over. Now listen to me, it didn't say they went over on mud. That ain't what it said. It said they went over on dry ground. Now I believe that, don't you? There's people that'll talk about the crossing of the Jordan or the crossing of the Red Sea, and they'll talk about it being a shallow place. And, well listen, you know, it would take more faith to believe that God drowned Pharaoh's horsemen and the horses in a shallow place than it would to believe that God just rolled the sea back, dried it up, and they went over on dry ground. I mean, think about it. Amen. The Bible said here, they went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, you know, he said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let me ask you something this morning. If you had a blank check from God, God said, ask what I shall give thee, what would your request be? I thought about Solomon, you know, when he said, I need wisdom that I might lead the people of God. God gave him wisdom. God gave him all that other material blessing as well, because he didn't ask for himself. And I don't believe that Elisha is asking for himself. Listen to me carefully this morning. Elisha realizes he's living among people that need God's help. And Elisha realizes that in order to be able to be a help, listen to me, he needed help. Did you hear what I said? Everybody wants to help somebody. But the greatest help that we can offer to others is that God gives to us. Amen. The Bible said here, he said, thou ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I can't read that verse without thinking about a preacher that I was sitting under that got all excited when he was preaching this. And he said, Elijah went up in a chariot. Amen. Preachers make mistakes sometimes. Amen. Well, let me rephrase that. Preachers make mistakes a lot of times. Brother Steve, our Lord never makes a mistake. He knew who would be here this morning. before the foundation of the world. He put this message in my heart, and it's for us. It's not for them. It's out yonder. It's for us that's in here today. The Bible said Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, here's my text, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's a good question. Even in 2018, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Bible said here, and when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege now. I mean, Lord, the privilege to stand here and open the Bible and read, to stand here, Lord, and pray, to stand here, Lord, before this congregation of people, and beg you, Lord, to make our life a blessing to them this day. Lord, I pray that someone that doesn't know you would be blessed this day with the gift of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray, Lord, today for those that know you, they're struggling, our Lord. Some are struggling, our Father, Lord, in this world. Some are struggling, our Father, in their finances. Some are struggling in their faith. I just pray, God, whatever the struggle is today, that you'd minister to that one. Lord, I ask you today, Lord, to clothe us now in our calling. Help us this morning as we preach on the subject, where is the Lord God of Elijah? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to back up this morning in the chapter. This is the way the Lord is leading me this morning. I'm not sure. I may be coming back to this same title tonight and going to other places in Elijah's life. I'm not sure how the Lord's leading right now, but I know by tonight I'll know exactly what direction to go. But this morning I want to concentrate on this chapter and try to answer the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? If you look in verse number 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. There's three places mentioned here in the scripture that I want to look at in this chapter this morning. The first place is Bethel. The second place is Jericho. And the third place is Jordan. And I believe that you could say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where will you find him? The first place, I believe you'll find him at Bethel. The second place, I believe you'll find him at Jericho. And the third place, I believe you'll find him at the crossing of the Jordan. Now, I want to look at these this morning and relate them to our lives and try my best to be a blessing to us, not where we're going to be and not where we used to be, but where we are in our lives this morning. We're looking now at the first thing. They came down to Bethel. Bethel is one of the easier of the two to define, because if you look up the word Bethel, it means a house of God. Where will you find the Lord God of Elijah? How many's glad you can find him? Brother Brian, we ain't forgot the Sunday school lesson. The Lord's in the house. Amen. You can find him in the house of God. I believe that. Let's look at some things here. That's the place where God's people meet, the house of God. But let me give you this morning. There's also another house, I believe, that's overlooked in this generation when you're talking about the house of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Beloved, God does not live in houses made with hands. God lives in the believer. The Word of God teaches that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe with all of my heart, if we really understood that fact, that that would make us, beloved, be what God wants us to be on Monday as well as on Sunday, on Tuesday as well as on Sunday, and every day of the week we would be interested in being what God wants us to be, because we would realize that God lives in here. You say, preacher, what's so important about the house of God, about our body, about gathering together in the house of God? Let me give you a couple of things quickly. Number one, it's a place of exaltation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. The Bible said that God has given him, Jesus, a name that's above every name. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, whether we're talking about in the church house or whether we're talking about in our lives as believers, that we ought to be exalting the name of Jesus, that we ought to be lifting up the name of Jesus. The Word of God tells us, beloved, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God the Father. I believe that we need to be concerned about those that have not yet bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus, and that we ought to lift him up, that we ought to exalt him. That, Brother Kenny, we should never be ashamed to stand and say what God has put on our heart for the glory of God Almighty. The Word of God said, beloved, over there in the book of Psalms, that God's people, it teaches us, are not ashamed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I believe that a lot of Christians today are like the little boy that had this little mutt. And somebody said to the little boy, said, what kind of dog is that? He said, he's a police dog. He said, son, I'm telling you right now, he don't much look like a police dog. And the little boy looked up at him and said, he's in the Secret Service. I believe that's where a lot of God's people are today, in the Secret Service. We ought to let our light shine. We ought to be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to get in the pulpit and not be ashamed of him. We ought to get in the choir and not be ashamed of him. We ought to get in the car going home and not be ashamed of him. We ought to go to the job and not be ashamed of him. We ought to, my friend, in our homes not be ashamed of him. Because thank God he's not ashamed of us this morning. He hung in open shame on a cross. He bled and he died for me. The choir sang, he answers my prayer. The likes of him would even listen to the likes of me blows my mind. But I'll tell you this morning, he's worthy to be exalted. He died on the old rugged cross. They buried him in an empty tomb. He rose again the third day, and he's coming again, amen, for his children. You can find him at Bethel. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The second thing here under this first place, Bethel, not only is it a place of exaltation, but it's a place of exhortation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me ask you something. How many would want to come back if you just come to church time after time after time after time and all you got was discouraged? Yeah. Amen. No. We get encouraged, don't we? The Word of God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. I pray that God will make my life an encouragement, amen, to those around me. So we encourage one another in the house of God. Then let me give you this. It's not only a place of exaltation where we exalt the Lord, where we exhort, exhortation, where we exhort one another. You can remember, some of you old timers can remember, Brother Colt, you might remember your dad talking about it. There were men back in the old days that didn't say they were preachers. They just said they were exhorters. You remember that, Brother Mike? Buddy, they might come in a service and they might cut loose for 10 or 15 minutes and they said they wasn't a preacher, but they done some good preaching. Amen. God would use them to encourage the people of God. I believe we need to be used of God as believers to encourage one another in these days. Then the last thing in this first place, Bethel, it's a place of examination. The Word of God said, examine yourselves. Let me give you something this morning. We're living in a generation that wants to have church without an invitation. They want to have church and Brother Mike, all they're interested in is entertainment. I say, if that's all you're interested in, push the pews out and turn it into a dance hall. Amen. But I'm telling you, God's Word will challenge us. And we're to examine ourselves, the Word of God said, to see whether we be in the faith. I believe the Word of God is still challenging our hearts today. I can remember for 6.5 years, I sat under the Word of God. And because of my stinking pride, beloved, listen, I believed the facts all my life. I believed that Jesus died. I believe He was buried. I believe He rose again. But there had never been a conversion. There had never been, my friend, listen, the Lord taking away my sin. The Lord giving me peace and joy and love down in my heart. But thank God, after 6.5 years, the Lord won the battle in my heart and life. I submitted to Him, and I've never been the same. It's a place of examination. The Bible said, examine yourself. You know, today, one of the mistakes that I believe is being made, we spend too much time examining others and not enough time examining ourselves. The Word of God encourages us to examine ourselves and see whether you be in the faith. The second place that I find the Lord, where is the Lord God of Elijah? If you read on down here a few verses, and the Bible said in verse number 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Let me just give you this. I'm not getting into the deep stuff here in these verses, but I'm just looking at three places. The first one was Bethel. The second one was Jericho. And I'm wondering in my heart as I studied and as I meditated, Lord, this man knows, Elijah knows that he's fixing to pass off the scene. This is his bucket list, so to speak. I want to go to Bethel. I want to go to the house of God. I want to go to Jericho. The answer would be why? Why? You know, God had told Joshua that that place would be cursed. You remember that? But we also know, he said it wasn't to be rebuilt, but we also know that it was rebuilt. You can't study the Bible without seeing that. It's there even in the days of Jesus. Jericho is there. But let me give you something that how God dealt with my heart. What will you find at Jericho? How come the Lord God of Elijah is found at Jericho? I believe we're to remember some things as we look at Jericho. Number one, there's an enemy to be defeated. Beloved, listen. Listen. The enemy was to be defeated. Every one of us have an enemy. The Word of God said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Beloved friend, if you're a Christian, he's your enemy. If you're not a Christian, he's still your enemy. I promise you, he's not for you. He's against you. But the Word of God said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's an enemy to be defeated. He's not the winner. You say, preacher, how do you know he ain't going to win? Because I've already read the last chapter in the last book. And beloved, let me tell you something about the devil. Listen to me carefully. God just gave me this. He's a loser. And you listen to him, he'll make a loser out of you. That's whether you're a child of God or whether you're not a child of God. The devil will make a loser out of you in your life. I believe with all of my heart. There's some significance to Jericho because there's an enemy to be defeated. What's that in your life that's agitating you, that's aggravating you? What's that giant? You know, David went down there. to the valley, and for 40 days that giant Goliath had been marching out there in the valley and saying, "Send me a man." David went down there to take 10 cheeses to his brethren, check on them for his daddy. And David said, his brother Eliab said, "Art thou come down that thou mightest see the battle? I know the naughtiness of your heart." I can't read that verse without thinking about how God dealt my heart one night. David, he might not have said it with his mouth, but I believe in his heart said, "You boys been watching for 40 days. I didn't come to help you watch. I come to win." Amen. And David went out there in that battle in that valley. And David, beloved, listen, looked at that giant. Now that giant was bigger than David. Now listen to me. In your life and in my life, I promise you, that giant's bigger than you are. That giant's bigger than I am. But that giant is not bigger than our God. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. I love to read the story. I believe that was one of the first stones in history that had a GPS hooked onto it. God's positioning system. You say, "Preacher, how can you believe that God positioned that stone in the forehead of Goliath?" I tell you how. You hit a man hard enough to knock him down, he ought to fall backwards. But the Word of God said he fell forward. He fell on his face. I'm telling you, Jericho reminds us that there's an enemy to be defeated. Jericho also reminds us that there's walls to be destroyed. I don't know why. I guess I saw it in a caption last week on one of the news medias. But Ronald Reagan stood up years ago and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." Let me tell you something this morning. There are walls represented right here within these four walls. There's walls of unbelief. There's walls of doubt. There's walls of discouragement. There's walls. Listen, there's all kinds of walls that the enemy builds and just dares you and I to try to tear them down. I say, listen, thank God. Listen to me. God don't want us to tear them down. God just wants us to march around them in faith. God wants us to shout the victory. And God wants us to wait on Him. Beloved, for 6 days they marched around that wall in Jericho and didn't say a word. On the seventh day, they marched around six times. And then the seventh time, they shouted and the walls fell down. One thing I'll never forget in my life. Brother Mays Jackson stood up one time to preach. I love Brother Mays. I'm not ashamed of that. I'll go to my grave loving Brother Mays. Brother Mays stood up and he said, "We're pretty good at shouting after the walls fall down." He said, "The children of Israel shouted before the wall fell down." We ought to shout on credit. We ought to shout knowing that our God's bigger than the wall. Our God's bigger than the enemy. Our God's bigger than the giant. I believe that Elijah had to go to Bethel because he wanted to be reminded of the house of God. He had to go to Jericho because he wanted to be reminded, beloved, listen, that he had an enemy in his life, but he was defeated. He had some walls, some things to overcome, but they were torn down. And not only that, at Jericho, there was a sinner to be delivered. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Actually, there was more than one, but God used one. Her name was Rahab. She hid the spies. They told the spies told Rahab, said, "When we come back, we're going to destroy this place." And they told her, and she let down a scarlet thread, a scarlet cord. And they told her, they promised her, said, "Whoever's in that house, whoever your loved ones are that you want to be spared, you better get them in that house." Let me just say this morning. Whoever your loved ones are that you want to be spared, you better get them in the house of God. You better get them, beloved, in the family of God. You better teach them, beloved, listen, there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I believe it speaks of the salvation. And Rahab was spared that day. Now listen, this will blow your mind if you don't already know it. But you can get over in Matthew chapter number 1 and read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God that spared that lady, the harlot Rahab, that's what the Bible said, the harlot Rahab. And every time in the Word of God it uses the harlot Rahab, except in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Aren't you glad that there's some things God leaves off of our life when we get saved by the grace of God? Yeah, we might have used to been a lot of things. Not what I used to be. I'm not all that I should be, but you better listen carefully. I'm not what I'm going to be either. One day I'm going to be like him. You can find him at Bethel. You can find him at Jericho. The last place here you can find him is at Jordan. The Jordan teaches us several things. That's the river. That's the river where Jesus was baptized in. You remember that? And John the Baptist put him under the water, and the dove came down from heaven, and a voice from heaven. I believe the Son's going under the water, the Spirit of God, the dove is coming down, and the voice from heaven, the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jordan represents a couple things. It teaches us some things. Number one, it teaches us that all things are possible with God. What is it you need this morning? I may not be able to meet that need, but all things are possible with God. You say, "Preacher, do you really believe they went across on dry ground?" Everybody look at me, listen to me. That's exactly what I really believe. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you really believe that that whale or that great fish," people get in an argument over that, ain't that stupid? The Bible calls them both. But anyway, "do you believe that fish, that it really swallowed Jonah?" Yes, I do. I remember being in Bible school, Brother Brian, a little old boy, 4 years old. I was telling the story of Jonah. I was teaching them that week about Jonah. And I asked this question. I said, "That whale came up there on the beach." And I said, "Something happened. What happened?" Little boy going like this. I said, "What was it, Aaron? What happened?" He said, "He throwed up." He might not have knew all the biblical terms, but he knew that backslid preacher made that whale sick. And he threw up. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a place in the Revelation, a church called Laodicea, that makes God sick. Jordan speaks of a place and teaches us that all things are possible with God. They went over on dry ground. No mud squirting up between their toes. Dry ground. Dry ground. You say, "Who can do that?" I say, who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Amen. He's the one that did it. The second thing, the Jordan teaches us that we can live in victory. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" A lot of people try to make the promised land a type of heaven. Well, I just want to say this. I sure hope it's not. Because in the promised land, they had to keep fighting, Brother Rose. They kept fighting the battle. They kept defeating the enemy. As a matter of fact, in the promised land, across the Jordan, they got whooped one time down there at Ai because they didn't mind God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The Jordan speaks and teaches us that we can live in victory. You don't have to live a defeated Christian life. You have everything you need. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible. You have access to the throne of God. You have everything you need to live in victory. The Jordan teaches us that we can live in victory. And then the Jordan teaches us and leaves us a reminder for our children. Look at Joshua chapter 4 with me for just a minute. You have Joshua, Judges, then Ruth, and the Word of God. Joshua chapter number 4. I believe that these are some of the things that Elijah had on his mind when he took Elisha to these places. And Elisha asked the question, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" In verse number 6 of chapter number 4. "That this may be a sign among you that when your children..." Well, let me go back up to verse number 5. The Bible said, Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord. They're passing over God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that would be 12. And that may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial, for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I believe that you and I as adults in this room, we ought to be interested in leaving some memorials in our life for our children and our grandchildren. I was thinking when Brother Brian talked about how God was perhaps dealing, maybe he's not sure yet. However God leads him, it'll be fine. It'll be right here in this book how the Lord leads him about faithfulness. I believe that we as moms and dads and mamaws and papaws, we ought to be faithful. We ought to leave that mark in the mind of our children and the minds of our grandchildren. There ought to be that mark of faithfulness. Mamaw was faithful. Papaw was faithful. Papaw prayed. Papaw read his Bible. Papaw believed the Word of God. Papaw talked to others. I'm telling you, we ought to leave some memorials. Papaw bowed his head and thanked God for his food. We ought to leave those memorials. I believe that Elijah had left us a mark that Elisha could not get over in his heart and in his mind. I've never studied it all out to be exact, but what I have read is, if you'll read Elisha, there was twice as many miracles in his life as there was in the life of Elijah. You say, I can't imagine something like that. Why not? When the man said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. We had a man that taught Sunday school down at Liberty for years. And he told a story that I really liked. He had a godly father. And he said he would pray and he'd say, oh God, if I could just be half the man that Daddy is. And I appreciate that. But he said one day the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, you ain't praying right. He said, you need to ask me to make you twice the man. I believe there's Bible for that right here, don't you? Elisha didn't say to Elijah, if I could just be half the man that you are. He said, let a double portion, not half the portion, but a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I tell you where he's at. He's down Bethel. He's down Jericho. He's down the Jordan. He's a lot of other places. And if I had me one of them things like they used to do in the movies, I'd hold it up right now. To be continued. There's a lot of places you can find the Lord God of Elijah. But right here's where the Lord's leading us this morning. Have you found him? Do you know him? Is he in your heart? Is he in your life? Is he manifesting himself? Is there a wall that needs to come down? Is there a Jordan that needs to be crossed? Moms and dads, mamaws and papaws, are we leaving a memorial for our children and our grandchildren? It's important. Let's bow for prayer. We're going to have a verse of an invitation in just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, please. I've done my best this morning to share with you what God has put on my heart. Maybe it's a wall of finances. Maybe it's a wall that's physical ailment. Whatever that wall is this morning. Maybe it's a wall of depression. Maybe it's a wall of addiction. Whatever the wall is this morning, I'm telling you, my God is greater and bigger than that wall. Whatever the enemy is, whoever he is, we know there's one behind it all. Our God is bigger than him. The house of God I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you'll come back. Is there somebody this morning and say, preacher, I'm a saved man. I'm a saved woman. I know that that's settled. But I'm telling you, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning, and I desire your prayers. God bless you, honey. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am, and you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, honey. God bless you. God is speaking to hearts. God bless you, sis. Amen. Maybe there's somebody else. Say, pastor, I know I'm saved. That's not the issue. But God has spoke to my heart. It's good to know that he's bigger than my problems. It's good to know that he's, God bless you, sis. God bless you, honey. Amen. Let me tell you this morning, it'd be good if you'd just slip out of that seat here in a minute when the invitation's being given. Come down here around an old-fashioned altar and just say it to God with your mouth. God, I'm leaning on you. God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm not trusting me. I'm not bigger than this is, but Lord, you are. And I'm going to trust you, Lord. Would you come down here this morning? Some are already coming. Maybe you need to come. Just come. Come and use this altar for the glory of God Almighty. Now let me ask you this morning. Is there somebody here and you say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I'm in trouble with God. But I'm asking you to pray for me. Please remember me when you pray. Is there anybody that would slip that hand up and say, preacher, I need the Lord in my life. Please pray for me. Would you slip it up and hold it up high so I can see it? Would you do that? Would you do that? Amen. God bless you, son. I see that hand. I do. I do. More important than that, God does. And he sees that heart. Oh, I tell you this morning. Amen. May the Lord work in our midst. There's somebody else. Say, preacher, when you pray for that young man, pray for me too. I'm lost. I need the Lord in my life. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the word. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to hearts and lives today. Lord, this generation's asking a question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Lord, I pray he'd manifest himself in such a way, Lord, that folk could be drawn to him. Folk could get the help that they need. Folk could be saved by the grace of God. This young man, Lord, that I just met today, Lord, I pray for him. Lord, I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Lord, when I didn't know what to do, when I didn't know which way to turn, when I was living a life of rebellion as a teenager, my papa prayed for me. Oh, God, I pray this morning you'd stir our hearts. Save the lost. Strengthen your youngins in Jesus' name. Amen.